Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Dunstores is undoubtedly up there with Ryanair and Guinness as one of the most successful Irish enterprises ever created. Opening its first store in 1944 on Cork's Patrick Street, its success was spurred on by cheap clothing, and that grew and grew until eventually in the 1960s it exploded in popularity as it brought the concept of the modern supermarket to Irish shoppers. But in the middle of all of that success, the Dunn family, who owned and still do own and operate the business, faced their own personal struggles. And all of this is highlighted in a new book. It's a huge book by Matt Cooper. It's called Dynasty, subtitled Scandals, Triumph, Turmoil and Succession at the Heart of Dunn Stores. Matt, good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on, Pat.
How did the book come about?
After Ben died in November 2023, I would have done some things on radio about his career and his life. I wrote an obituary for the Business Post, and I was contacted by a publisher to say, oh, there's a book in there, there's a great story in Ben. And I thought about it, and yes, definitely Ben's life was highly significant and full of colour, shall we say. But I actually thought about it, and I thought there's more to it than just Ben. There is a family here, siblings, who are remarkable in their own way. And I would say, for example, that Margaret Heffernan is arguably the most significant and successful Irish businesswoman since the creation of the state. You have other siblings. You've had tragedy there, two of them dying young, another who was earmarked to be the boss of Dunn Stores, who really just couldn't deal with the pressure of it all because of his own personal demons. So I thought all of those siblings made for a great story as well. And the business itself, because the business touches all of us. More than €1 in every five every week in the shopping basket is spent in Dunn Stores. I doubt if there's anyone listening to us who hasn't been in
a Dunn
Stores.
But you get 20 cents back, don't forget, out of that euro.
Well, you do if you remember to keep your vouchers on your phone, or you actually have the printout receipt. How many people actually forget to actually bring their vouchers back? But as I thought about it, you know, I thought there was a bigger story. There was a bigger story about the business as well and how it's changed over the years. And then as I did the research, there's a story about how Ireland has changed. When the business was set up during the emergency, as we call the Second World War, in 1944, and how our spending has changed, how our consumer habits, the things that we buy and what we want, and how Dunn Stores has changed over all of those decades, and yet in some respects has remained the same. I thought it was a fascinating story to
Let's go back, though, to, first of all, there's Ben Dunn Jr., the one we all know.
Bernard, as the family know him.
And then there was Ben Sr., and before that there was Barney.
There was. Barney Dunn, without the E at the end of his name. And I was fascinated by this and finding out about things from back there. Not spoken much by the family. But in some respects, I get the impression that he was almost like the original Ben Dunn Jr., a big personality, an entertainer, liked the attention, but also had his issues with addiction as well. And that ended up dying in impecunious circumstances as well, sort of separated from
and
the family.
And he wasn't from Cork, for instance.
I mean,
the family moved to Cork.
Yeah, I think that was, I think the perception of us is the Dunns as a Cork family. But Barney Dunn, without the E, was born in Ross Trevor. And that's where Ben Sr. was born, in Ross Trevor, where he grew up. And where he was a great friend of all people, possibly the greatest civil servant of the 20th century, T.K. Whittaker, Ken Whittaker, who used to go to school every day alongside Barney Dunn. Or sorry, Ben Dunn Sr., and remained a friend of Ben Sr.'s throughout his life. And it was fascinating to discover those connections as well.
Yeah. Even though I note in passing in the book that, say, Charlie Haughey would not have been a respecter of Ben Dunn Sr.
No, there was a famous incident back in the 1960s. Ben Dunn Sr. would have been quite visionary in looking to what was going on internationally, and also would have brought Dunn Stores to various trade shows. And he had a display on in New York, including the likes of Brian Eilon shirts and whatever, which was been sold. And how he happened to be there as a minister for a trade show, Irish Trade Board was involved, and he went to see the display. And I won't give the full quote at this time of the morning on air, but he was disgusted by the stock and said, "You're not in the F&IV market now with things that you're selling." And this actually had consequences in the future, because Margaret was very annoyed when she didn't see Charles Haughey's name on the book of condolences at her father's funeral in the early 1980s, at a time when Charles Haughey was in opposition. And then, of course, just over a decade later, they had some very famous meetings up in Kinsealy when Margaret was trying to find out, did my brother Bernard give you £1 million?
Which, of course, he did.
He did, and more.
And more. So here we have this fella raised in Ross Trevor, now living in Cork, and gets his start in drapery. I mean, he was a worker, absolutely. Nine to twelve.
Absolutely. He actually got his start in Anderson's in Drogheda. And actually this very week, we're hearing that Dunn Stores are closing down that store in Drogheda, which he managed to go back and buy for Dunn Stores back in the 1960s or 70s. But he moved around the country, spent a bit of time in Longford as well, and he moved to Cork. And he ended up with another great Cork institution, Roach's Stores, which, of course, is no longer with us. And I think that's relevant as well, that Dunn Stores has prevailed when many of the other names of shops in the 20th century have gone.
Yeah, it's interesting that he ended up earning more in commission than his salary.
That was the rumour, yes.
That was the rumour, and he parted company. But when he started to do his own thing, I mean, had he visions of the empire it might become? Because he was an admirer of Marks and Spencer's.
He was. Hence you have the St. Bernard label, which was like the St. Michael label for Marks and Spencer's. In fact, many of the items that they ended up getting that went on the St. Bernard label had the St. Michael label taken off.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Buff and St. Bernard put on them. They were able to get the excess stock from the UK, which Marks and Spencer's hadn't been able to sell. I don't think he probably would have anticipated the level of domination initially that he had. I was very surprised. I wondered about how did he manage to finance the initial opening of the store, and how did he... You know, given that it was in the time of the emergency, nobody had any money. How do you get stock? How do you get a premises? And just by chance, the property developer, Johnny Ronan, told me a story of how he didn't know Ben Jr., but he knew Ben Sr. And I said, "Johnny, how did you know Ben Sr.?" And as it turned out, his grandfather had, as Johnny said, given him the confidence to go ahead and open the first store on Patrick Street, which would lead me to believe that he must have provided some sort of financial guarantees or whatever, because he was a very wealthy businessman in Munster at the time. And Johnny Ronan used to meet with Ben Sr., with his own father, Johnny's father, in the Shelburne Hotel and lately the Berkeley Court once a week for drinks. So anyway, Ben Sr. started modestly, but the business grew dramatically so quickly, mainly because of a lot of an aggression in the way that they went about controlling costs, getting all the deals with suppliers, but also giving people what they want.
And they used credit to a great extent, you know, delaying payment to the last possible moment and being able to use the money in the meantime, which is very important.
Again, Johnny Ronan said to me, and others said it as well, that Ben Sr. used to describe himself almost as a banker. So you paid cash. There was no such thing as credit cards in the early days of Dunn Stores. There was a lot of people used to sort of go to their local store and they would pay almost on a higher purchase. Mm. They would settle their bills at a later date. Dunn Stores, nothing like that. You paid cash up front, you didn't get it, but the suppliers wouldn't be paid for months.
From an early stage, he was concerned about succession, wasn't he? And keeping the family business as exactly that, a family business.
Yeah, and 6 children, one of whom, Anne, was institutionalised at a young age. The 5 other children all expected to take part in the business. They would have left school early. Ben Sr. wasn't a great believer in formal education. And they went to work, first of all, in the stores in Cork, in their teens, and then they moved to Dublin to do so as well. So Margaret would have been in Dublin at an early age. Ben would have stayed in Cork until he was about 17 or 18. Then he moved to Dublin as well. Everybody expected to pitch in, but very much the whole thing, this is a family business. We are controlling it. They've always used outside professional management, and the professional management has been well rewarded for what they do, but never having any shareholdings. This is a company owned for and by the Dunns all of the way through. And that's why if Ben Dunn Sr. was known as the chief, I describe Margaret Heffernan now as the custodian, because she has been very clear in now running the business in her 80s that this is still a family enterprise.
Now, the question of Cornell's Court, which was a massive turning point because it became, if you like, the first hypermarket in Ireland. And I was talking to Don Tidy about this last night because he was very much involved with the development of Cornell's Court with Frank.
And I give Frank a lot of credit in the book for the idea of Cornell's Court and the development of it, because previously I don't think that had really been given to him, but from the people I was talking to, he deserved that.
So Cornell's Court became this, it was a big shed, and then it became this massive destination. I mean, now we look at the N11 and it's a fine jewel carriageway which bypasses Dunstores, but it was the main Bray Road and every car passed its door.
Well, I was also fascinated to discover that when initially the idea for a plan for a dual carriageway was in place, then there was a decision taken at political level not to go any further out than Donnybrook, that there wasn't any requirement for it. But they had the vision to see that the suburbs were developing and the housing estates were developing further and further into the south side of Dublin. And there were even ads run in the papers that you actually had special buses were being run from Dublin city centre out to Cornell's Court to bring people out there. It was visionary in its time. And if you look at Dunstores, they were brilliant at anticipating where the demand would be all around the country, not just in Dublin.
Now, if you look at, I mean, there is a history of some addiction in the family, which you refer to. Yeah. But if you look at Ben, for example, his life, extraordinary, kidnapped.
Yeah.
Ransom paid or not paid?
It was paid.
It was paid. He then has his adventures with Charlie Haughey, and then he has his adventures in Florida. What an extraordinary... And then he goes on to reinvent himself running gyms. What an extraordinary life. But you would trace a lot of his misadventures to the trauma of the kidnap.
Yeah, I'd be very sympathetic to him in relation to that. I think he was a guy with a personality that would have led to some of the issues anyway, just in common with others. Again, the addictive nature of people, and he had an addiction as much as anything else to the limelight. But I would be very... there was a documentary made about him on RT Television recently, and it focused very much on Orlando and that everything spun out of Orlando. And I can see why they took that angle, because it did have enormous repercussions politically with Charles Haughey and Michael Lowry as well and others. But actually, everything sprung from largely from the kidnap. I mean, to have gone through what he went through in the Provisional IRA, kidnapped him when he was genuinely fearful for his life, even the circumstances of his release were terrifying to him, and then to be sent back to work the following day as if nothing had happened, just get on with it. And his behaviour over the next decade, even though he was doing brilliantly as a businessman and expanding Dunstores dramatically, his behaviour became more and more erratic. And you know,
I mean, we heard these stories about putting competitions where there might be 20 grand on them.
Oh, the golf was extraordinary. The 10, 10, 20, 10 grand on the front nine, 10 grand on the back nine, 20 grand overall. He was wild, and this gave Margaret Heffernan an enormous concern. But, you know, when he got to Orlando, you know, that wasn't his first ride on the rodeo, shall we say, you know.
Now, I want to talk about the present Dunstores and what it has become, because old Ben Dunn, according to Don Tidy, who told me this, he said, old Ben's mantra was, never be undersold by anybody. In other words, you've got to be the cheapest in the marketplace. And then what happens, Zara comes along and H&M come along and Penny's, another graduate of the Dunstores empire was Arthur Ryan.
Yes.
They come along and they start underselling Dunns. Now, what do Dunns do? Can they go down into the trenches and fight with them? Or do they seek out that old Roach's Stores, Switzer's Market, where, you know, people don't really want to go to BT's, it's too toffee for them, but they want to go to a nice store. Cleary's was gone, Arnott's is still there, and in Cork they have equivalents. But the idea of let's go for the middle market and give them high quality at not the cheapest price, but at a good, affordable price. And that's what Margaret Heffernan did.
Yeah, it's been an extraordinary business story over the last quarter of a century or so, or even the last 15 years, if you think more. I think the arrival on the supermarket side of Lidl and Aldi very much persuaded them that they couldn't actually match necessarily on prices, although they have tried. I suppose the one thing that remains the same with Dunstores has been the obsession with keeping costs down. They spend as little as they possibly can. But yes, there has been a move towards higher price points. Although what I think is remarkable about the supermarkets is that you still have the cheaper products alongside the more expensive designer products, shall we say. And how they've actually managed that trick is remarkable. And the same goes in relation to clothing and to the design of the stores. So you talk about Colonel's Court, and Colonel's Court has been dramatically upgraded and revamped and is very luxurious. Down in Cork, I mean, the store in Cork on the Southern By Road, and you head out towards West Cork, is arguably even more plush. It is an extraordinary creation, and the crowds going to it. You know, on Sunday morning I visited it, we could hardly find a car parking space. It was quite remarkable at 11 o'clock in the morning. This, they have reinvented the business in an extraordinary way. Margaret Heffernan, alongside her daughter Anne and her niece Sharon, and that has been something to behold.
You know, one of the old business adages is, you know, the first generation make the money, second generation consolidate the money, the third generation squander the money. This is not going to happen with Dunn's.
Well, that is, I think, very much Margaret's intention, the custodian taking over from her father, the chief. It is, I mean, she has definitely given opportunities to people in her family and nephews and nieces. Only two have come good, Anne and Sharon. They're now in their late 50s. They are essential to the running of the business and the future of the business. But Margaret still is the woman who has the final say on things. It is remarkable that a woman who would have started in the business nearly 70 years ago is still in there.
Now, you do advert to some of her failures.
Yes.
Wanted to buy Avoca, didn't. Wanted to buy Donnybrook Fair. Didn't happen. And you put your finger on maybe a chip off the old block in some way.
Chiseling at the price. Chiseling, just will not be overpaying as far as she was concerned. Always wanting to get the best deal. And sometimes that's the right thing to do. Sometimes it's, but look, who's perfect? Who's perfect? And the other change, which I think has been remarkable, has been in relation to industrial relations. There is a chapter in the book about the apartheid issue back in Henry Street, for which the company has never apologised, even if Ben did apologise. But from what was in many strikes in this century as well, now the trade union officials I was speaking to would say they would regard Dunn's as amongst the best of the retail employers at this stage.
Some of the suppliers would say back in the day when they might be struggling to get paid, it's much more routine. You get your money when you're supposed to get your money. And relations, I mean, people like Francis Brennan and Nevin Maguire speak so highly of Margaret.
Absolutely. Even last week, I just ran into Francis and he was telling me a story about one day that he was inside in Dunn's. He wanted to print something. He wasn't able to get access to a printer to print something out. He went home to Kenmare and he gets a phone call that night from Margaret Heffernan from Barbados to apologise to him that the printer hadn't been available to him inside in the head office that day. She was that much on top of everything and trying to deal with everything. But even the use of all of these ambassadors shows that they've taken a very 21st century approach to retailing.
A number of people are texting, and Dan Barrett was the boss of Dunn's in Cork in the 80s.
Yes.
I think he was the only director from outside. There were a few directors, but not shareholders.
Never shareholders. Yeah. That's the key point. And they had, I think, what year was it? 2009, maybe they had a going away ceremony for him and everything, but he was very much regarded as a key man.
Another one. My mother, late mother, used to say that Roach's Stores had a tagline of Roach's Stores for Value. So Ben Dunn Sr. made his tagline Dunn Stores for Better Value. Any truth in that?
That I don't know, but Better Value Beats Them All was for many years the tagline, and it has evolved over the years. So I think what they're at now is simply better.
Now, the book is fantastic. It's called Dynasty, Scandals, Triumph, Turmoil and Succession at the Heart of Dunn Stores, written by Matt Cooper. Before I let you go, Matt, thoughts on the election? Is it done and dusted?
Nothing is ever done and dusted until the votes are carried, but it's certainly starting to look, isn't it, that there's only one possible outcome on this. But I was very interested in the fact that in the Irish Times opinion poll this morning, that so many people feel that they don't have a candidate to vote for.
Matt Cooper, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc. See.